If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. We are going to get back into Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. We're not going to cover all of Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. That's the wonderful thing about the fact that Christmas is always coming around again. But I do want to thank Alyssa and Ara Lee for participating in our service today, because as I look and as I think about what we're doing today, we're going to spend a few minutes just talking about the awe and the wonder of Christmas. And as I thought about that this morning and I watched those young ladies minister to us this morning, I thought, what a wonderful thing to have the next generation proclaiming the awe and the wonder of Christmas. God's at work. God has been at work. He was at work before Bethlehem. He was at work that first Christmas morning. God is still at work today, saving souls, drawing men to himself, accomplishing his purposes. But the story of the birth of Jesus is just a special story of awe and wonder. Think about all that was taking place as we read through that passage. A registration demanded by Caesar Augustus that led and was for the purpose of a journey to Bethlehem by a young couple that no one in the rest of the world really knew much about. God was at work. Circumstances that led to there being no place for them in the inn. What would our front of our auditorium look like if we had a room, a guest room with the inn, with the Savior being born in the guest room? It didn't happen that way. The awe and the wonder of a virgin giving birth to the Son of God in the flesh. This wasn't just a baby. This was God visiting man in the flesh. The angelic hosts. We get so used to the story of the shepherds, we forget that these poor shepherds in the middle of the night are suddenly blinded with a bright light from heaven. And not only do they get Gabriel's announcement of a Savior, but with him is joined a host of, and you look at the word there and it talks about a multitude of hosts, it's God's angelic army surrounding him with a royal announcement. Jesus Christ, the King, the Savior is born. And all of that to shepherds out in the field. The simplicity of a sign given to those shepherds, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. We read that and we don't really think about the cultural implications of that. Most babies born in the Middle East, born in Israel, were wrapped in swaddling clothes. There was nothing special about wrapping the baby in swaddling clothes. And that wasn't so much the sign as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That you never saw. The shepherds arriving in Bethlehem and finding Mary and Joseph and Jesus, often in our depictions and even in our plays, as kids do Sunday school plays and other things about this whole story of Christmas, we assume that, well, they followed the star and they got to Bethlehem. Well, don't mix the shepherds up with the wise men. There was no star leading the shepherds that night. They were told what to look for. You know, the shepherds had to search for what they needed to find. They needed to find a baby. A baby in the town of Bethlehem. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And a baby of all things lying in a manger. And they looked until they found him. So many glorious events taking place. But as you look at the title of our message, I had to ask myself this week, how does a manger fit into all these glorious things? How does a manger, is there any glory truly to be found in a manger? And as I studied it, I'll be honest, this wasn't the first message that I was planning on preaching. As I got caught up in all that happened in Bethlehem, as I was reading posts coming across Facebook, I really got caught up in a story that, to be perfectly honest, at the end of the day, I couldn't verify. But as you read all these posts, and I've heard messages preached on the fact that, well, the wonderful thing about this is these were shepherds that were tending sheep that were getting ready for the sacrifices in the temple. And not only that, but there's another story going around, and it talks about the fact that as the lambs were born, if the lamb was perfect without spot and blemish, they would wrap it in swaddling clothes and lay it in the manger. And there is no historical proof that I can find of any of that. And it is possible they did have sheep in the area. So were these shepherds, temple shepherds that were watching sheep? The best answer I can give you to that is maybe. It's possible. It's interesting that Luke doesn't mention that when it would fit so well into his story. Did they wrap the lambs up? Probably not, but that fits really well into what you're trying to do with that story when you're talking about the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And I looked at that, thought, well, it's an attempt that we have of trying to bring more glory to the manger. But as we look at this story, as we read 20 simple verses in Luke chapter 2, can I ask you, as you think about the Christmas story this year, to stick to the facts? Because the facts are amazing. The facts that we do know are wonderful. The facts in this story are awe-inspiring as we think of the bottomless treasury of truth that is here for us to delve into. Does Christmas ever get old for you? Christmas is one of those celebrations that it just seems new every year. We get excited about it every year. And the younger we are, the more excited we tend to get. But even older folks get excited about Christmas. We look forward to the Christmas service. Hopefully we've matured in our Christmas desires. My wife was talking to my granddaughter. She's what, three now? Forgive my ignorance. She's little. She's three now. And she was FaceTiming her the other day, and she's talking about Christmas. And I know my son and my daughter-in-law are taking her to church, and they're teaching her what Christmas is all about. And so she was telling us what she was all excited about with Christmas coming, and I'm waiting for something about Jesus being born, the manger, something about the shepherds. And she looks, her eyes got about this big, and she goes, "Mimi, you're coming to my house, and it's Christmas, so we're going to make gingerbread houses." And my soul just sank. Now she is learning about Jesus Christ, and it is important. And I hope that you've gotten past the fact that it's about gingerbread houses and gifts and celebration. I hope you've gotten to the point where you are today that it's about the awe and the wonder. The awe and the wonder of a God who gave his only begotten Son. The awe and the wonder of the way he put this day together. And can I tell you the awe and the wonder and the glory of a manger? As we look into this morning, we need to see just a few things. First of all, I want to start with this message to the shepherds. Look back to Luke chapter 2, and beginning in verse 10, as the shepherds have been aroused, as they've been frightened, as they're listening to the angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I look at that and I thought, what a wonderful way to begin Christmas. Now, some of you need to think back further than others, but can you remember when you were a kid on Christmas Day? When you came down, and if your traditions were somewhat like ours, there were presents under the tree. And as a kid, you slept in until noon or 1 o'clock because you weren't really interested in those, were you? You have to set down rules because suddenly it's 3 a.m. and they think it's time to open gifts. No, we're going to wait till the sun comes up, okay? But you go down, and I remember as a kid, I went down there, and when you're a kid looking at the presents under the tree, what are you looking for? I want to find my name on the biggest gift. And when I look at the gifts, if my name's not on the biggest gift, sometimes we're selfish enough about Christmas that we get disappointed before we ever start opening up gifts. And the wonderful thing about this announcement with God's gift, he said, "I have a gift that's for all people. What I'm about to share with you is for every one of you. There's no disappointment here. There's no I'm being left out here unless you choose to be." Because the angel said, "This will be for all people, for unto you, for you, for all these people, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." An amazing announcement for all of us that a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord of heaven and earth has been born. The other thing that amazes me in this story, let's imagine that we are with the shepherds on the hills of Palestine near Bethlehem that day. The shepherds are there. How many nights when they were watching sheep did they suddenly get blinded by a great light? I'm guessing this is the only time they ever saw this. How many times did an angel appear after with that light and give them an announcement from God? How many times did he bring a innumerable host of the army of God's angels with him to praise God, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace? And all of this is taking place, and then the angel says what? "And this will be a sign to you." But how many signs do they need? They've got a light, they've got angels, they've got a host, they've got an announcement. But he said, "You know what? Just so you know that what we're telling you is the truth, let me give you a special sign." And the special sign is the glory of the manger. He says here that this shall be a sign that you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So what do the shepherds do? Shepherds are supposed to watch sheep. Now, there's things that we aren't told in the story. I doubt that all the shepherds left all the sheep and ran into Bethlehem. So who got to go? How did they decide who went? Somebody had to stay back with the sheep. But while they did that, they got to go. And imagine you were one of those that get to go. And you run into Bethlehem. I doubt they took their time getting to Bethlehem. They've had a great light. They've had an announcement from God. They've had the angel giving them this wonderful announcement. And then this host of angels praising God. And in the midst of all that, when they said, we need to go check this out, they probably ran into Bethlehem. They were in a hurry to find out. Not only did they do that, but they took the time to search for this baby. They didn't get an address. They couldn't go to the inn. They knew that this was going to be in a manger. They had to find the manger. Now, Bethlehem's not huge. It's not like going to New York City. But it took some effort. And they found the babe. Now, when they got there, what did they see? And don't forget, in the midst of all of our depictions and paintings and stories, when they got there, they saw a simple family unit. Probably saw a young father. Some of you have been young fathers. Some of you may be young fathers in coming days. I remember when I became a young father. I was in my 20s, early 20s. And I remember when my first son was born. And they handed him to me. And they're so cute. You have no idea what's coming. They're so cute. And you're so in love with this child that this child is yours. It's the beginning of your extended family. And suddenly it dawns on you, what have I done? What do I do with this child? They don't come with any instruction manuals. They don't act and react like you think they're going to act and react. And here's this child. And you've got a Joseph there who's wondering, what am I going to do? Because not only do I have a baby, not only do I have a family to take care of, but this is God in the flesh. This is God with us. You see a young mother. And we have these wonderful pictures. And you even look at our nice scene up here. Doesn't Mary look wonderful? Mary just gave birth. How many of you want pictures of you just after giving birth sent out and put all over Facebook? That's an experience. And I didn't even do it. You say, you have no idea. I'll admit, I have no idea. It's Christmas. I don't want to get in trouble. It's amazing. But it's an amazing thing. But Mary's just given birth. So you have this young couple, somewhat traumatized with all of this. And she's given birth in less than optimal circumstances. And you're looking at this, and then you look at the baby. And for all intents and purposes, this is a normal, beautiful little baby boy. He doesn't have a halo. And unlike Rembrandt, who painted the picture, I doubt that there was light emanating from his entire body. But he was the Son of God. He's this babe boy, and you find him lying in a manger. And you realize that not only has God done a wonderful thing for you in all this, but God's word is just like he said it would be. God can be trusted. And I think that's part of the reason for that extra sign. I mean, if you hit me over the head with a bright light in the middle of the night, one angel, a multitude of angels, and an announcement, I don't think I need a lot more signs to realize God's in this. But it was one more sign in the sign, the final sign for the shepherds, that was going to point them not just to the glory of God, but to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Because Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. And we get caught up in so many other things, but the manger and the glory of the manger is a reminder to us that Christmas isn't about me. It's not about you. It's not about being home for the holidays. It's about Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus Christ during this Christmas season? Because the angels tell the shepherds exactly what needs to be done, and we're going to go into that in just a moment. But we're looking at this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How important is that sign to us? You know, Luke is the only writer in Scripture that mentions the manger. And in this short passage of 20 verses, this passage that since our kids were very little, our Christmas tradition has been before we open up gifts, we would sit with our kids, and somebody would read the Christmas story. In the midst of this short passage of 20 verses, the manger is mentioned 3 times. Verse 7, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. As Mary wraps that baby in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger, does she have any idea that she's fulfilling the sign that God gave her? She's doing what any mother would do. Now, we're going to talk about the manger in a minute, and it wasn't the best of circumstances, but she made the best of what she had. And then in verse 12, it says, and this will be a sign to you, that the angel's talking to the shepherds. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger just as Mary had just taken care of. And then verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. It's an amazing story. It's full of awe and wonder. But what would have happened if they went and found Mary and Joseph in a guest room with no manger? Without the manger, that's not the Savior. Because that's the sign that was there. And they found it perfectly and exactly like the message had been given to them. And then what we want to look at, the message in the manger. Why a manger? Why is Luke's message about this manger so important? And why does he include it three times in this little story? Because the manger is central to pointing us to the Savior. Now think about the manger for a minute. We call it a manger. You know what it literally is? It's a feeding trough. It's a little feeding trough. And sometimes we make beautiful ones out of logs and wood and all kinds of things. It was likely carved out of stone. Now, it may have been wood, but it's likely it was just carved out of stone. It was full of feed for the animals. So if Mary's going to lay her baby in this manger, it was probably kind of dirty and needed to be cleaned up as best as they could. And they didn't come with all the cleaning supplies to clean a manger. They weren't anticipating this when they left Nazareth. But they did the best they could, and I'm sure she put the hay in there and made it as comfortable as possible. But this wasn't a romantic little, let's put our light Christmas lights around it and our fake snow around our manger. This was traumatic and difficult, but it was a sign. It was God's sign to us. It was God's sign in many different ways. Number one, the manger was planned. When you think about the whole story, can't you get into the rut of thinking, wow, what an unfortunate set of circumstances. Here's this young couple with this woman who's very expecting, having to go all the way from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Why didn't God just choose a couple in Bethlehem that was already there? God had a plan. You think about the fact that, well, you know, there's a census that's drawing them down there, so they're not the only ones being drawn into Bethlehem. Why could they not have been called to Bethlehem by a family issue? Some kind of a logistical, maybe legal thing that they needed to take care of, where they could have gone and found a guest room and been more comfortable? Because God had a plan. And you continue to think about all of these things. Sometimes we look at life and we say, you know what, it's a shame things worked out that way. We get a fatalistic attitude that, you know, life is just life sometimes. And Joseph and Mary could have been caught up in all that at that time, but God was in control of all of those things. You remember back in Micah chapter 5, verse 2 in the Old Testament, God declares, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are so little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days." Do you realize, and this is an understatement, and I'll tell you why in just a moment, but do you realize that God, from that moment, had 7 centuries to plan the birth of Jesus Christ? The Almighty Sovereign God had 7 centuries, and actually Scripture tells us He planned this before the foundation of the world. Don't you think a Sovereign God who can move a young couple from Nazareth down to Bethlehem by taking the head of the most powerful empire of its day and having him decide that he has to have a census right then to move them at just the right time so that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ would be born. Don't you think God could have done a better job planning that if he wanted to? God has a message for us in the manger. God had a message for the shepherds in the manger. And you look at this whole story and you've got to realize that things may not appear the way we think they ought to be, but God's in control. God was in control in Bethlehem, and God's in control in your life today. He has you right where He wants you to do what needs to be done in your life, and you need to be aware. And I love, again, the fact that we had played for us this morning. Do you hear? Can I ask you this morning, are you hearing God's voice and what He's doing in your life? Are you hearing God in the message of Christmas and why He put that there for you and for me? Are you listening to the voice of what's being said? Because He's going to tell us in just a minute the importance of this manger. But I thought about this and I thought, isn't it interesting how God's plans are different than ours? If you had planned Jesus Christ's birth, would you have planned a manger with no place for them to stay so she could have birth out with the animals and place the baby in a manger as the Son of God was born? You know, I look at the story, and I don't say this sacrilegiously, but I think, you know, I look at it and think, well, you know, the angels were kind of a good idea. Isn't that amazing? A bright light shining. The announcement from God with all the heavenly hosts that Jesus Christ is born. If it were me, that would have been done right over the Temple Mount. Can you imagine? In the middle of the night, trumpets blasting, bright lights shining from the Temple Mount, a huge host of angels announcing to all of Israel right in the capital, Jesus Christ is born. Get your lives right. Get right with him. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And instead, what did God decide to do? He gave that glorious message to a handful of shepherds who would then take that out and share abroad with everyone they knew what Jesus Christ was doing and what was happening in the plan of God. I think about that because I think, you know, we have that gospel message now, that Jesus Christ is Savior, Messiah, and he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God could take that and he could proclaim it throughout the world with an angelic host, but who's he left it with? He's left the message with me and you to do the same thing that the shepherds did. Are we willing to take that important message that you may be a sinner, but God gave his only begotten son to die on Calvary for you? It started at Bethlehem and the road went all the way to Calvary. Have you accepted the gift, of free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, and the opportunity to be right with God? Your Savior and your Lord has made that all possible. So the manger was planned. The manger was a sign. We've talked about that. This will be a sign to you. An interesting sign. One commentator put it this way: no other king anywhere in the world was lying in a feeding trough. To the shepherds, find him, and you will find the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And can I tell you, the same message to the shepherd is the message for you this morning? No other king, no other ruler, no other thing in your life that's ruling your life is going to be found in the manger. The only one found in the manger is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you found him? And if not, will you find him this Christmas? The one who can make the difference in all your life. The message of the angel said, he, number one, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He said, your greatest need is your sinners. Every one of you are sinners. I'm a sinner, and we need Jesus Christ. And the angels announced, God, in his great plan, from before the world began, is now giving his son and his love so that your sin problem can be resolved, so that you can have your sins forgiven. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of all God's promises to Israel. And he will continue to be that. And he's there to tell you in the manger, you can trust God's promises to you. God always fulfills his promises. And he's the Lord. See, he's not Lord of my life. It's amazing the scriptures say every day, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Will you do it today of your own volition, or will you do it because you have to acknowledge who he is one day? But you will acknowledge him one day. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And the manger was glorious. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of a heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God because a Savior is born and he's in that feeding trough right now. Glory to God because the Messiah who is promised has been born and he's in that feeding trough right now. Glory to God because the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, in humility has given himself and he will die on Calvary, but he will rule and he will reign. And he will be glorified one day. The manger was a glorious scene. And their manger is a reminder for us. A reminder of the humility and the mission of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came in Philippians chapter 2. It says that he was born, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death. Because the manger is the first step on the road to Calvary for Jesus Christ in his incarnation. Jesus Christ is headed to Calvary. And the last thing we want to talk about is the manger was a step on the road to Calvary. Jesus would later tell his followers as they were debating and arguing about who would be the greatest. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ deserved to be the first. He deserved to be served. And the manger is a reminder of to us that he set an example for us, that in humility, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for you. The manger is a reminder. The manger is a reminder forever for us of the gospel. He is Savior. Have you come to Him as Savior of your soul? He is Messiah. He's the fulfillment of all God's promises. And He is Lord. And He will reign. And whether or not you accept Him as Savior will determine whether you take Him as Lord now or one day have to acknowledge Him as Lord before eternal punishment. Christmas is a wonderful time. It's a time of awe. It's a time of wonder. It's a time to remember. Have you heard the story as we heard played earlier? And have you taken the time to consider what child is this? The answer to that question will determine your eternal destiny. May Christmas be a time of awe and wonder for you as you see the Savior in the manger this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, though we probably would not have planned that first Christmas day the way that you planned that day, it was your plan. It was your plan from all eternity. It was the expression of your love for us. It was a time of awe, a time of wonder. God, may we never lose the wonder of the fact that a sovereign, holy, righteous God gave His only Son that we might have eternal life. Lord, may we accept Him for who He is, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. And Father, may you bring us to the point where we realize that only by putting our faith and trust in Christ will we have eternal life. I pray that if there's anyone here who's not done that yet this morning, that your Spirit might work in their hearts and they might see the babe in the manger for who He really is, Savior, Messiah, and Lord, and that you'll change their hearts and lives as a result. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.